There are a number of sources in Chazal to establish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills the Torah no less than we do. The Yushalmi in Rosh Hashanah describes a Melech Basav Adam who is Gozer Gzera. Ratza Makaimo, Ratza Eina Makaimo, El Acher Makaimo. So the king himself does not feel compelled or obligated to fulfill his own decree. Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu Eino Chen, Gozer Gzera Makaimo Tchila, Minayin Vishamru Es Mishmarti Ani Hashem, Ani Hu Sheshamarti Mitzvoseha Shel Torah Tchila. Omer Rav Simon, Ksiv Mipnei Seva Tokum, Vadarta Pnei Zokein, Vyaresam Elokech Ani Hashem, Ani Hu Shekiyamti Amidas Zokein Tchila. The Matnas Kahuna there on the Medrash Rabba says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himtin Li Avraham Avinu. The Medrash tells us a Maisa from Gamliel, Rabbi Shur, Belaz Ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Shalchu L'Romi, V'Dorshu Shom, Magid Dvar V'Liakov, Chukom, Mishpatav L'Yisrael. Ein Drachav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibosav Adam, Elohu Gozer Gzera, V'Yomer L'Acherim La'Sosu, V'Eino Saklum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. Elamah Shehu Ose Omer Li Yisrael Lishmar Velas. Hashem himself fulfills it. And there was a Min who said to them that their words are lies because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Shomer Shabbos. After all, he brings down rains from the heaven. So they answered in Rosh Hashanah Olam, B'chi Ein Adam Rashoi L'Taltil B'chatzero B'Shabbos V'chol Olam Kulo Chatzero Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you see from all these sources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Mekayim the Torah. The Gemara says in Brachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mispalel. And the basic theme is, Re'ei Anochi, Mimeni Tiru V'chein Tasu, we imitate Hashem. Hashem is a Gomel Chasodim, Hashem is Racham V'chanun, and we follow suit. But there's one mitzvah that we have to think about in terms of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills the mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that within the framework of tzedakah, the highest level of tzedakah is called matan b'seser, where the recipient has no idea who the donor is. And Gadol Ha'oseh Tzedakah V'Chesed Yoseh B'Moshe Beni B'Moshe Demar Ki Yagarti Minei Af Achema. And Chazal tell us in Ksubas about Gedolei Chachamim, they would go beseser, they would throw mos around, and the aniyim would collect them. Nobody knew who they were getting them from, who they were giving to. Kazer roi lasos of maila tovihi. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim the Torah, and of course on the highest level possible, we would anticipate that he would give Matan B'Seser. And yet, everything that we receive from Hashem. We have nothing of our own. And it's not Matan B'Seser. Everybody knows it's public knowledge. It's clear. It's crystal clear. We get it from Hashem. But let's look at the beginning of our parasha. Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe leimet abir b'nei Yisrael v'yikhuli truma me'iskol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu es trumasi. And the Mefarshim asked the question, why does it say v'yikhu li truma? It should say v'yitnu li truma. They should give. What does it mean v'yikhu? V'yikhu means they take. That's the exact opposite of nesina. And if you look at Rashi on the word truma, Rashi says, "Hafrashi yafrishu li mimamonom nidava." If you take this Rashi and translate it word for word verbatim, it means that our hafrasha is li, is given to Hashem, yafrishu li, and add that to v'yikhu, and it sounds like Hashem is receiving v'yikhu li truma. And Hashem is saying, let me take your truma. That our contribution is, so to speak, for Hashem. That doesn't make any sense, of course. Could it be that we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu our nedava? But Rashi says so. Rashi says, Yafrishu li, mimamonam nedava. Our nedava is for Hashem. v'yikhuli. And the pasuk says, may ish kol ish asher yidvenu libo. Rashi says, lashon nedava. In other words, we are considered nedivim. We, with the goodness of our heart, give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a truma. That's what it says here. And that's really something that's very difficult to understand, that we could possibly give a truma to Hashem. Now, let's try to put into perspective the truma here in this parasha. If we try to calculate what kind of a gift it was. Now, let's understand. A half a year before Parshas Truma, Klal Yisrael, our ancestors were Avodim and Mitzrayim. They worked very hard, back-raping work. Chomer ul-Bilvenim. They did all the works in the field. Their lives were bitter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to them, and he redeemed them. B'yod chazroka b'zrona tuya. And they left b'rechush gadol. The Gemara in Brachos describes this Rechush Gadol, the wealth that they took out of Mitzrayim. And it says, Ein lecha kol echad v'echad miYisrael shlo hoyu imo tishim chamorim luvim te'unim mikaspa uzahava shel Mitzrayim. In other words, the proportion, the ratio of wealth to each individual member of Klal Yisrael was 90, each individual had 90 donkeys laden with kesef and zav. This is a massive amount of wealth. And the pasuk in Shir Shirim, Torei Zav Nasalachim Nikudos HaKosef, is also a remez to the wealth that we took from Mitzrayim, in this case from Bizas Hayom, kishem shazov nechmad v'yokar min hakesef kachoysev bisayom gedola mishal bizas Mitzrayim. What they took out, what they took at the time of Yamsuf, was even greater than what they took out of Mitzrayim, which is described in Bechoros as 90 donkeys laden with gold and silver. Now, if we calculate that the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim would reach, let's say, the number 3 million, if you count Anoshim, Noshim, and Taf. Now, how much gold did they bring to the Beis HaMikdash? So the pasuk later on in Sefer Shmos says, Vayhi Zahav HaTnufa Tesha V'Esrim Kikar U'Shvameos U'Shloshim Shekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. We're talking about approximately 30 kikar of Zahav. Now, how much is a kikar of Zav? According to Rashi, at least, it's a mishkal of arboim u'shnayim v'chetzi kilogram. Now, if you multiply that by 3, by 30, you'll come up with the number about a ton, maybe a ton and a quarter. Now, divide that up into 2.5 million or 3 million people, that means each person brought a half a gram of gold. Now imagine, each person had 90 donkeys laden with gold and silver. And their entire matana for each person was a half a gram of zav. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's an adova, that's li, yikhu li truma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated this gift. It was very beloved in his eyes. And it's a little paradoxical, because all the gifts that they brought, all the gold and silver, came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. So they're taking it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in effect giving it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks them, and they come with the Divus HaLev. Hashem says, I'm doing this for you because the monies that you're bringing me, your contributions, will be for the sake of Kapora on the Chet HaEgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to be Masher, my Shechina, and your Mishkan. And they respond out of their goodness and their goodwill, and they bring gold and silver. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them points for this. They are praised for this. These are the Nedivim. These are the Nedivei Lev. And it's really a paradox. that we receive endlessly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give back so little, but nevertheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that little as a significant gift. And basically our lives are really the same, because if we admit that we are as a panim sheyoref, we're not tzaddikim, we sinned, and yet we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept whatever we give him and will save us, designate us all as a place in Gan Eden. That's what guaranteed. What do we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day? Okay, every day we recite Mea Brachos. But when you say Mea Brachos, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, he gives us health, he gives us appetite, he gives us teeth to chew our food, he gives us a digestive system to digest that food and turn it into blood to supply the entire body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us parnasa so that we can sustain ourselves and buy things that we need and eat things that we enjoy. Everything that we have, it comes from God. Our very breath of air, every pump of the heart. And what do we give him in return for all this? We give him a bracha, thanks. And yet, because of the Mea Brachos, Chazal say we're guaranteed a place in Gan Eden. How would you weigh the bracha, on the scale? If you put on the other scale, everything we have, life, health, all the great things that God bestows upon him, it's about a chatzi gram, if you compare that to tishim chamorim to unim of gzav v'kesef. And yet, for that chatzi gram, for that bracha that we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'nedava b'ratzon tov, we anticipate great, great reward. That's v'yikhu li truma. It should have said v'yitnu, but no, it says v'yikhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, give it to me, and I take it. That's your nedava to me. We, in our lives, take and take and take. We receive and receive endlessly. And what do we give back? So little. But yet, whatever we give back to Hashem, it's with ratzon tov, it's with a good will. And that itself makes our gift into something significant. And therefore, we come back to our original question, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayim all the mitzvahs, and certainly tztaka, with endless tztaka, where's the matan b'seser? And the answer is that there is a matan b'seser, because he gives, and he lets us think that it's just happening. We live in that, almost lack of consciousness state. We're walking around in comas thinking that, we do everything for ourselves. Everything that we have is a result of all our work and all our efforts. It's kochi v'otzim yodi. We think that health is something natural. It just happens. Life is there. Our parnasa is just granted to us. We work. We put in a full day. We punch the clock. We come home. We get our check. And with that, we buy food. And where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the equation? God is somehow the kel mistatev b'shafer chevyo. He's really like the nediv, the person who gives all sorts of good things to the ani, but he himself hides. He hides on the other side of the door. He looks, peeps through the window in order to get a picture of the simcha, the joy of the aniyim when they receive this anonymous gift. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. All that he bestows upon us is really chesed, tzedakah, matan, b'seser. And our responsibility, our obligation, is to try to reveal a little bit of that matan b'seser, to acknowledge that the source of all that we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give, to express gratitude to Hashem. The Gemara tells us the ksuvas about Mar Ukva, that he used to leave 4 zuzim in front of his door on a daily basis, so that a poor person could come and take it and it would be a matan b'seser. And that ani, that poor person, tried to sneak up and figure out who's giving it to him. Who is the donor? And this is what we have to do. We have to constantly reveal the donor and constantly thank the donor. We have to understand and appreciate how much we're getting how much we're receiving and how little we are giving back in thanks. As we say in Nishmas Ilufinu, Mole Shira Kayom, Shonen Rina Kamon Galov, Susasenu Sheva Kamachavirkia, Eina Nachlima speaking Lahodos al Achas, May Elif Alfe Alof Vir Vavos. We have to know how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, how much significance HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives up in heaven to our Chatzi Gram of Hodoya. And if we appreciate how important it is in the eyes of Hashem, the genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving, no matter how little it is in Kamus, it's only a Chatzi Gram, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it great in Echus. And therefore we have to continuously reveal the greatness of Hashem, His Stokum Amat and Veseser, and if we reveal this and we appreciate the donor and we express that appreciation with the Divas HaLev, then Emir Tzashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us a special place in Gan Eden and a great deal of Schar. I want to talk to you a little bit about the level of the Jew and his uniqueness. In Hoshanas for Chag HaSukkos, we say Hoshana Chavuka Udvuka Bach. We embrace, so to speak, and we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra with regard to the Kruvim that the Kruvim on top of the Aron HaBris, Hayu Pneihem Ish El Achiv. How do we reconcile this, asks the Gemara, with the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim that says Pneihem Labayis, that it's not that the two Kruvim faced each other, but they faced outwardly and their backs were to each other. And the Gemara answers, Lo Kashi Kan Bizman Shisrael Osim Ritzon Shel Makom Kan Bizman She'en Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shel Makom. The position of the Kruvim would reflect the level of Klal Yisrael, whether they were fulfilling the will of God or Chas V'Shalom, they were not. And the Ritva quotes the Rimi Gash's famous Kasha, that Chazal tell us in Yuma that when the enemies of the Jewish people entered into the Heichal and they were destroying the Beis HaMikdash, they saw the Kruvim Ma'urim Zebazeh, they were hugging each other, which is an indication of Rov Chibas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Now, at the time of the Churban, we're describing a period of time of Lo Asir Ritzon Shel Makom. How could it be there for Pneihem Ish El Echav, El Achiv? And perhaps we could say that Kshenichnasu Nachrim Leheichal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Jew, he looks at the Jewish nation as a victim, and then he looks at the aggressor, he looks at the murderer, he looks at the Nachrim who go into the Heichal. And it really, you know, when we compare the two, there's Chibas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. It is like Asur Ritzonim Shel Makom, because no matter how low the Jew stoops, no matter how low Madregi reaches, in comparison and contrast to the guy who's Nichtas Laheichol, the Jew is a great being. You know, we think about the tragedy that took place in Har Nof just a few months ago. What is it, about 2 months ago? And think of those two Yemach Shemams, those two killers. And then think of the Tzaddikim, think of the Kedoshim, the holy Neshamas that were in that same Beis Medrash. And compare and contrast the two. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol comes out of the Kodesh Kadoshim. He did the Haktaras Haktaras Lefnai V'Lefnim, and he was Mispalel a Tefillah Ktsara, and his Tefillah is very strange. He writes, Yehi Ratzon V'Lfanecha Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu Sh'teishanezu Abo Aleinu V'Al Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael B'Chol Mokom Shehem Im Shechuna Geshuma And then he says, "Shlo yitztarchu amcha beis Yisrael zelo zev lo liam acher." What does that mean? Shlo yitztarchu amcha zelo zev. I mean, we need each other. We work in a community in a harmony. One person is a baker; the other guy's the butler. He's the tailor. This guy's the carpenter. All of these people are necessary. I can't live like Robinson Crusoe. So what is this tefillah shelo yitztachu zelazeh? And take, for example, the situation of an avrech who's learning. For his olam haba, he certainly depends upon everyone around us. And Chazal tells him in Masechta Brachos that lo nivru kol elu el shamsheni. So what does it mean when we say shelo yitztachu amcha beis Yisrael beparnosa zelazeh? And then it says velo liam acher. What does it mean? We don't need the other nations. I mean, the Poskin Yishayo Anovi testifies that V'yomdu zorim v'rod sonachem u'bnei nechar ikarechem v'charmechem. It means that the ultimate goal at the end of time is that the nations of the world will take care of everything. As Yitzhak says to Yaakov, Yavducha amish tachvu l'chol u'umim. That Liyosid Lavo, Yishayo Anovi says, V'hoyu malachim omanech v'sarseyem eni kosayich, ha'goy v'amamloch ha'shalo yavdun, yavduch yovedu. So why would the Kohen Gadol ask that we shouldn't be dependent upon the other nations? And it's a very cute pshat, I can't tell you for sure that this is simple, straightforward, the plain meaning of the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. But I found this pshat in a sefer that I became very fond of called V'Igadeta from Rav Yaakov Galinsky. He says the following, during the days of judgment of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as the Mishnah describes, the kol bayolam ovrim lefonov kivnei moron. Imagine, it's your turn, and you come in front of the kisei, in front of the Bezdin Shalmala. Okay. So they ask you, okay, what's your story? Did you do tshuva? Did you fix up that which you know that which you were in Peseder in the last year? Okay, Baruch Hashem, you have mitzvahs, and you tried to avoid averus whenever possible. And then they ask you, okay, what are you asking for? So your answer is, you want a good year. And why do you deserve a good year? Because I did what I could. Now wait a second. They're going to ask you the following question. You want a good year, you want a perfect year. You want what we call tapuach bidvash, you know, the apple and the honey. Are you perfect yourself that you deserve a perfect year? You weren't really anticipating that question. You know, it's true that you try to avoid averus and you try to mitzvahs, but to say that you're perfect, I mean, was your davening perfect with all kavana when you learned a sugya? Did you use every ounce of energy and exploit your time to its fullest, both qualitatively and quantitatively? You're going to have to add an honest declaration that, you know, I wasn't perfect, but, you know, don't just judge me on my own. I want to look over my shoulder and say, look, if you look down the line below me, there are people who are much worse than I am. I mean, I'm a pretty good guy. And of course, Hashem is a compassionate father. He accepts, you know, your response. And he writes you down, inscribes you for the year, for Shana Tova, Tapuach Bidvash. Now, then the guy below you on the totem pole comes forward, and again they ask him in the heavenly courts, "What do you want?" He says, "I want a good year. What else do I want? Shana Tova. I want a perfect year. Are you perfect?" And the second guy says, "Yesh gruim mimeni. There are those who are worse behind me." And this goes on, and until we finally get to the guy who's last on the list. There's no one worse than him. So now, we ask him, you know, what do you want? He says, I want a perfect year. He says, well, are you perfect? And he can't even look behind him. So what does he say? He says, you know what? Compare me to a guy. I am better than the best guy. And it's really true. But the Kohen Gadol is asking something else, Lifnai V'lifnin. He's saying, Ribono Shel Olam. What we want to do is we want to be zocha, we want to be worthy of receiving and being inscribed for a great year, perfect year, because we ourselves are perfect. I don't have to excuse myself by looking at the guy who's below me, or looking at the Am Acher, that in comparison to the guy, we look perfect. And there's a story here about Rav Shach. Rav Shach once asked the Talmud, did you recite Birchas HaShachar today? What kind of question, of course. And what did you think, asked Rav Shach, when you said the words, Shalo Asani Goy? Rav Shach didn't even wait for an answer. He says, I had in mind the President of the United States who had visited Israel just shortly before this encounter. And the entire country stood in awe in honor of the President. And we, Ashreinu, we can say are fortunate that we're not like him. We're Jews. We are children to our Bore. We have Tarayag Mitzvahs. We have Kedusha. We have Tara. We have Tefillah. We have Torah. And in truth, even the Rosh of Yisrael, let him be an Avarion, he too could be Mevarach Shalo Asani Goy. And it would not be a Brachal of Atola. Because no matter who he is, he's on a higher level. In the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's a ben bonim atem, chiba yisera nodolachem. And the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Hoshea and he said to him, bonim chatu. You remember this Gemara? And the Gemara describes the response of Hoshea, who says, well, if your sons have sinned, well, try a different nation instead. So the Noam Elimelech is famous for saying, what did Hoshea mean when he said, try out a different nation? It means that if you switch this nation for another nation, you'll see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that no matter which nation you choose, they will be lower and worse than Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, even in their worst level, are superior, are better to the best of the nations of the world. And the Yerushalmi says that they established Havdolah and Tefillah and Atachon and Tonuchon and Adas. And it's very strange. We say Amavdim and Kodesh Lechol. Okay, that requires Das. But what does Bein Or Lechoshech mean? I mean, even the smallest creatures that fly through the air, they recognize the difference between light and darkness. What's the Das here? In truth, you don't need Das to differentiate between the light of the sun when it reaches its zenith around noontime to the darkness of night at midnight. That doesn't require Das. But we need Das to differentiate between the last moment of the day and the first moment of the night. There's still light. If one would do Malacha on Shabbos, going into Motzi Shabbos, but still light out, he's chayav misa for that. A minute later, it's already afel, it's already darkness, it's Motzi Shabbos, and that requires das. And in a symbolic sense, when we say Ben Yisrael Amin, we don't mean Ben Moshe or Ben Paro. I mean, we don't have to compare them, you know, that, Mordechai to Haman. But we need das to differentiate between one of the lowest Jews and the best and finest of the Goyim. We have to understand what a Jew is, what his value is. When the enemies of our people came into the Heichal, even if it was the situation of Hester Ponim, you could describe it as Enom Osim Ritzon Shel Mokom, but nevertheless, in comparison to those Goyim who were Nichnasu LeHeichal, those terrible, evil people who destroyed the Mikdash, we are considered banim, even b'shas churban, and that's what it was. That was brought to fruition and expressed by the kruvim shahayu meurim zebazeh. And this is what we mean in the Hoshanas on Sukkos, when we say Hoshana zruya ben machiseha. We are that Hoshana again. The Hoshana represents the simple Jew, not the great outstanding tzaddik, and we are thrown about amongst machiseha, those who anger Hashem. Hoshana, we are chavuko dvukabach. That's the greatness of the Jewish people. I want to talk to you about the many midos that we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matir Asurim, we say. Masha Sarti Lachem, Itati Lachem Dugmosa. What does it mean when Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Tes, that on everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited, in a corresponding way, he permitted something similar. We're not allowed to eat dam, but he allows us to eat kaved, which is liver that has, you know, saturation with dam, and has a tam of dam. We're not allowed to eat chelev behema, but he's matir chelev chaya. We're not allowed to eat basar chazir, but we're allowed to eat the moach of a dag hashibuto that has a tam like chazir. This is what we mean, Hashem matir asurim, mashasarti lachem, itati lachem kidugmaso. And on a figurative or symbolic level, what this means is that every midah that's bad can be used, if channeled properly, for something good, for something positive. And therefore, there's nothing that's totally asur and totally evil. We can always use it in the good way. And let's apply this to the Mishnah in Avos that compares and contrasts Avram Avinu to Bilam. The mid of Avram Avinu was Ayin Tova. And with this Ayin Tova, Avram leaves a legacy to his Talmidim in this world and guarantees them a place to the world to come. On the other end of the spectrum is the Ayin Ra, that's the mid of Bilam Arasha. And his Talmidim will inherit Gehenna both in this world and in the next world. The Rambam tells us that Ayin Tova is what we call Midas Haistafkus. It means that you have what you have and you're satisfied. You don't have this unlimited, shall I say, limitless desire to have more, to acquire more possessions and more possessions. Ayin Ra means that you are desperately involved in the pursuit of money to get more and more and more. It's the exact opposite of istapkus. And it's interesting that according to some of the Mefarshim, Avram Avinu had all the midos of Bilam, the same identical midos, but yet he knew how to use them for ruchnius. In other words, Bilam had this insatiable desire for mammon, and Avram Avinu took that insatiable desire and he converted it into an insatiable desire for more ruchnius, for more spirituality. On the physical end, Avram Avinu was Midas Haistafkus, the exact opposite of Bilam. So when it comes to physicality, Avram Avinu is perfectly satisfied with the barest minimum. He doesn't need more, he doesn't lust for more and more money. On the spiritual side, he wants more and more and more. Just like Chazal say about Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Pasuk Oev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef is an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu's Oev Mitzvos Velo Yispa Mitzvos. He designated the three Ari Miklat and Evra Yarden, even though they would not have power to be collate until the other three were designated in Eretz Canaan. But Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Mitzvah Abol Yadi Akaimena, and therefore us, Yavdil Moshe, Sholosh Orin B'Evra Yarden. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu it overflows with mitzvos, with ma'isim tovim. The Gemara in Brachos says, Ein lecha gadol b'ma'isim tovim yosem mi-Moshe. He was zoche, he was mezakas harabim. The entire zchus harabim depends upon him. He wouldn't even give up on half a mitzvah. This was his tremendous ishtokikus, his desire to come into Eretz Yisrael to fulfill its mitzvos. And this is the attitude that instead of having an insatiable desire for monetary material possessions, to channel that for the sake of desiring mitzvos, ma'isim tovim, and closeness to shamayim. The Pasuk in Dvarim in Vaschan says, "Bashamayim mimal ve'al ha'aretz mitochas." And Chazal indicate in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Shamayim is a reference to Neshama. The Aretz is an allusion to the Guf. And what the Pasuk means, when it says Bashamayim, meaning Tzarchei Shamayim, anything that the Neshama needs when it comes to serving Hashem, is the Stachlis is Mimal. Look towards someone who's greater than you. Look up and emulate a tzaddik. Be jealous of him. Kiddush Sofrim. He has Maisim Tovim that exceed, supersede yours. But when it comes to Al Aretz, it's Mitochas. When it comes to physicality and possessions and material wealth, look at the guy below you and consider that he's even poorer than you are. And this is the basic theme, that when it comes to spirituality, we should try to strive for greater and greater, never being satiated. Look towards someone who's higher up on the totem pole, be inspired by him and try to imitate him. When it comes to Gashmias, be very, very satisfied, mitzvahs, with what you have, and realize that there are people who don't have what you have and appreciate what you have. And if you take a look at the Aron, the way that the Torah describes the midos of the Aron, they're always half. Etc., etc. And the Shulchan is always a complete midah. Amos Shlemos. Amasayim Arko. Amarachbo. And Chazal teach us that the difference is that when it comes to Torah, which is symbolically represented by the Aron, is a person has to know that all he has is half. No matter how many yediyos he has in Torah, he's got a long way to go. But when it comes to the Shulchan, which represents the table of physical goodness, we should realize that we have it all. That should be our sense of Sameach Bechelko. I'm happy with what I have. It says, V'yasu Aron, B'loshen Rabim. But when it comes to the Shulchan, it says, V'yasisa Shulchan B'loshen Yachid. When it comes to Ruchanius, to Torah, then we have to work B'tzavta. We have to work one with the other, shoulder to shoulder. Kinas Sofrim Tar B'chach. We have to work B'tzavta. When it comes to physicality, everyone does his own thing. Don't look at the next one. A person tries to look into the bowl of the next guy, and he says, well, his bowl is fuller than mine, it overflows, and he ends up with jealousy. No, the midah is histapkus, it's an amos shlema of the Shulchan. But when it comes to ruchanius, on the contrary, here we have an insatiable desire, we compare ourselves to those who are greater than us, we aspire for more and more and more. The pasuk says, ve'avadetim es Hashem Elokeichem, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, everyone has to work together. Ish Esreyehu Yazoru. And therefore, we work as a team. But when it comes to Lechem Umayim, a person should look into his own plate and Vavaditem in Loshen Rabim, but Uberaches Lachmacha, Lachmacha B'Loshen Yochid, be Sameach B'Chelko, be Mistapik with what you have. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Im Tvakshenu Kakosef, V'Chatmonim T'Chapsena Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem, V'Das Elokim Timtza. When we look out at the world, and we see how many people work endlessly in order to collect profits and make more and more money. And the Chazal tell us, Mar Benachosim, Mar Bedaiga, a person has a mana, he wants Masayim, and finally he wants Arbamios. Kimat Monim Techapsena. They look and look for Kesef under the ground, you know, like searching for a treasure with all that work, and people travel to the ends of the world in order to amass wealth. How many how many kiduchim, you know, they look below the ground for oil, for gas. And on the ruchnistic side, we have to use that midah. Rabbi Loza says, Miyamai lo kidamni adam lebeis ha-medrash. Nobody came before me to the Beis HaMedrash. He had such a desire. Lo inachti adam shom v'yatzasi. He was always the last one out to close the lights. This has to be our attitude. You know, you have people who come to hear a shir, and unfortunately they fall asleep. And yet, I ask myself the following question. Would these same people, if they were working behind a cashier and people were waiting online to pay their funds, would they be falling asleep? Alexander the Great, according to the Gemara in Masechta Tamid, was out on a journey with his military battalions, the goal of which was to conquer the world. And he passed through mountains, he traveled in the darkness. In one occasion he came to a place which was inhabited by women and not men. He wanted to conquer the area, but they responded, look, Mimonavshach, if you'll kill us, so they'll say, what, he killed women? Big deal. And if we defeat you and kill some of your men, it's going to be embarrassing that some of your men fell at the sword of women. So at the end, Chazal said that Alexander made peace with this group of women, and he felt that they were very wise. He came to the table, and he asked them for lechem. Give me some bread to eat. They brought out a golden table made of gold, and a loaf of bread that wasn't real bread, it was made of gold. And he looked at them in amazement. He says, is this what you do over here? Do you eat bread of gold? Ah, they respond to him, no. We eat bread that's made of wheat. But if you're interested in bread of wheat, why did you have to come so far? You could have stayed home and enjoyed bread of wheat. And when Alexander left that place, he wrote that Ani Alexander Mukton Shote Haisi Achibosi Lakan Vanoshim Ilfuni Chokma. He admitted that he'd been foolish. He had left his own comfortable life where he could eat at home a normal meal of bread. And it took this town, so to speak, of women who were wise, who made him realize that he was crazy. He was motivated by things and desires that make no sense. And the Gemara tells the story that on his way back, he sat down to eat bread next to a beautiful spring of water. He had in his possession salty fish, that the salt preserved these fish on this long trek of his. And he was able to wash off the fish with the water of the spring to remove the saltiness. And not only that, the fish somehow absorbed a beautiful taste. And Alexander declared that this river, this spring, must come from Gan Eden itself. And the Mefarshim asked, well, wait a minute. He was returning, he was retracing his steps on his way back. He must have passed by this same area on his way going. Didn't he notice this beautiful spring that comes from Gan Eden? But the answer is very simple. On his way there, he wasn't interested in anything else but conquering the world. He wanted to control the world from one end to the other. And everything for him was just push forward. To be machnia, to control, to subjugate. More and more under his power. With that kind of push, he wasn't interested in a mayan. he wouldn't even notice if it came from Gan Eden itself. But after the women in that town opened his eyes, what does a person need? Does he need to conquer the world? Let him be satisfied with a loaf of bread made of wheat. You had to do all this work to conquer the world. What was lacking in your own home turf? And now, when Alexander realizes this truth penetrates into his heart, then he notices this beautiful spring, this blessed spring that comes from Gan Eden. And Chazal tell us, "Ma'yes Adam v'yechkam yemait b'schora v'yarve v'yeshiva." Now the emphasis here is not so much on yarve v'yechid; it's more on yemait b'schora. If a person wants more and more physicality and material possessions, if he doesn't have the mid of istavkus, then probably when it comes to ruchanius, there he will have the mid of istavkus. That midah is built into man. And if he doesn't channel it in this direction, he'll channel it in that direction. So the more intense is his desire, endless desire to acquire wealth and possessions, the more he's satisfied in his spiritual world with what he has. And therefore, he's not going to be marva b'yeshiva. If he'll be mamayit b'schora, if he gets his priorities straight, if he'll be happy and satisfied with the little that he has, then he'll have a tremendous desire for Yarva the Yeshiva to put all his time and efforts into serving Hashem, studying Hashem's Torah. There's a vart of the Chidush HaRim. Rashi in Breishis says that originally the two Maoros, the Maora Gadol and the Maora Katan, were both meant to be equal. That's how they were created. But the Levana started kvetching. How could two Malachim be Meshamish B'Keser Echad? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Memait the Levana. And Chazal say that in order to be Menachem the Levana, in the next part of the Pasuk says, V'yeis HaKochavim, is there were tzvos, there were smaller planets that circled the moon, and that's lahafis daita. So the Chidush HaRim says, what does it mean lahafis daita? This you call some sort of a pitsui, you know, some sort of payment. I mean, the Levana didn't gain anything from those stars that were around it. But the answer he said is that she should see that there are stars that are smaller than she is. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mamayit the Levana. But, you know, if there are smaller ones, and this really is a nechama. We're very satisfied. Most of us are complacent about our situation, the level that we've achieved in Ruchnius. We're not perfect. But, you know what? We look behind us and we say there are those who are not as good as us. They're even smaller, they're even lower on the skin. But that's not the attitude. Be mishamayim mimal. In when it comes to the neshama, one should aspire for higher and higher. Look towards the tzaddikim. Our nefesh is loti mole. And that's what it means that when the Mishnah says in Avos, b'makom shein anoshim hishtadel lios ish, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Gamim ain gadol mimcha. There's no one greater than you. Nevertheless, hishtadel lios chashiv od yoser. Im ain badar hu kamocha tira atzmacha kilu badar chach be atalmud. You should imagine yourself as if you were amongst greater people, that you were standing with Nevi'im, with Moshe Rabbeinu, and you would be asking yourself, when and how can I reach their level of chachma? And that will keep you in line. That you shouldn't drop out and take the laid-back, lazy attitude. Use every day to be metakin your midos, to add to your chachma. You should be a mayan amiz gaber. Try to reach higher and higher levels. And this is the philosophy of Bashamay Mimal, and that's what has to accompany us throughout life. The pasuk in our parsha Vyosu Aron Atzei Shita V'Tzipiso Sozov Mibayisu Michutz T'Tzapena. And the Gemara in Yuma comments on the pasuk Mibayisu Mibichutz Mikan Shekol Talmud Chacham Shein Tocho Kibaro Eino Talmud Chacham. The Aron, which housed the Luchos and the Torah, is a symbol of Chachma. But it's got to be Mibayis Umibachutz. And this statement of the Chazal in Yuma really reflects the Shita of Ram Gamliel in Masechta Brachos, in the very famous sugi of the controversy between Ram Gamliel and Rab Loz ben Azariah. Rab Gamliel set up Shomrim at the entrance into the Beis Medrash. He wouldn't let Talmidim come in unless they were Tocham Kabarah. And later, when Rab Loz ben Azariah was appointed as the Nasi, they removed the Shomrim and they had to add 400 Safsolim. And on that day, they learned Masechta Edios. And Rabbi Gamliel had Chalish Sadas, Shema Chas V'Sholem Manati Torah Mi'Yisrael. And they showed him in a dream, Kadim Levonim Maleim Efer. Rashi says that those who entered in are really not suitable. It's just Klapei Chutz. It's on the outside. And there's more to the sugya, and it's very complicated, but I just want to make one point. There's something called Tocho Kibaro. Sometimes a person who's not Tocho Kibaro really has to work hard to get accepted. You know, when a person is blocked, you know, he didn't pass the entrance exam into the yeshiva, he's got to be super-duper motivated. He's got to really work on himself. And sometimes the very fact that the carrot is there, but he can't achieve it, he can't receive it, he can't grab onto it, that itself is a kind of a motivation. A person should realize that things in life are not simple. Not everything is coming to us. We're not always on the level. There's a shomer that's standing at the Pesach, and he's not letting us in. Only the special chosen ones will be allowed entry. And says Ram Gamliel, you've got to prove yourself. You've got to try to beg, in a sense, and persuade. And on the one hand, Ram Gamliel prevented so many Talmidim from coming in, but on the other hand, he created such a desire and such a slavus, a shtokukus, to want to come in. And that itself was part of the education, part of the training. And this all touches on our theme for today, as we discussed at great length, that on the one hand, we have to appreciate everything that Hashem gave us. We have to reveal the donor, as we said, and express our gratitude. But at the same time, we have to realize that whatever Hashem gave us, we have to be that special nation of Israel. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to those who are below us. We should aspire to tzaddikim who are greater than us. We should realize that it's not always so easy. There are challenges, but we have to face the challenge. We have to have a tremendous desire and a tshuka, a love for mitzvos, never to fall asleep. Because when we're given opportunities in Ruchaniyut, we have to realize that they're worth gold, that they're invaluable. And that Chachma that we can achieve and the close to Hashem is what our essential being is all about. See, Ratzim of Nevinish of Shemayim, may we be Zoche to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, V'no Adati L'cha Bein HaKruvim, Bein Shnei HaKruvim, to see the Ashras HaShchina. We should be humble. We should realize that we have great challenges to face. We have to reach the level of Tocho Kibaro. We have to have a tremendous tshuka and desire for mitzvos and for Torah. And in Mirtz Hashem, if we continue in that direction, we'll bring Nachas Ruach Lefanov for ourselves, our families, for the entire community of Klal Yisrael Bizocha to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Amen.